Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our official guest now is Evelyn Gilbert from Aotearoa, A Wider Perspective. Evelyn, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Vinnie.
What have you got for us today?
Yesterday morning when I woke up, I was reading my news, and there was this news about explosions that scared Aucklanders. And during the day, what came out was that apparently the Air Force had been dropping bombs in their training area north of Auckland. What turned out was that they were dropping MK-82 bombs. And MK-82 bombs are probably the most common bombs used in carpet bombing in places such as Afghanistan and Iraq. But what is interesting, it is called MK-82 500 kilo bombs, and these bombs are from American, they come from America, and America doesn't make any of its bombs anymore without depleted uranium. Now, I am not actually sure whether I can prove this, but according to a Countercurrent website, which is countercurrents.org, an article that appeared on the 10th of October 2007 told about all the ordnance that was used in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they said that basically all the bombs that were used, and they name the MK-82 bombs, were used, and that all of these bombs were lined with depleted uranium. And that makes sense, because to get a bomb of a reasonably small size, so you can put lots of them in a plane for carpet bombing, needs very dense kind of material to get that kind of weight. And so it is very unlikely that, especially for New Zealand, an MK-82 without depleted uranium would have been sold to us. Of course, they don't talk about that much. But the video material showed telltale signs of whitish clouds before blowing up the native soil where it was exploded in. And that's usually a sign of burning depleted uranium. What I would like, and what I'm sort of, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to be on your show and talk about this, is because I would like to know if there's people out there who actually have access to that area and who can measure the fallout for radiation levels. Because, of course, we are supposed to be this nuclear-free country. But it's, again, as I said before, very unlikely that they will send us bombs made to our sensitivities without depleted uranium, especially because officially the United States Army and the Pentagon have the stance that depleted uranium is not dangerous, is not radioactive, which it is. It's got low radiation, low long-term radiation damage. It doesn't show up unless breathed in directly until 5 to 10 years after it has penetrated the body. But especially in areas like Fallujah, where of course the two sieges of Fallujah were fought or were executed on the poor people who lived there, there is such a high rate of birth defects and deformities and other kinds of radiation-related illnesses that it is unconscionable that these bombs would be used here. I mean, it's unconscionable that they would be used in Iraq or Afghanistan, where they have now a pollution that will last 4.5 billion years, because that's the half value of depleted uranium radiation. That's what we're looking at, and I'm very curious and very keen on getting in touch with people who would be able to help out in measuring the fallout and what is left on these areas. It, you have to keep in mind that in Iraq, according to the specialist of the United States Army, Doug Ruggie at the time, he wrote the books, he wrote the manuals on how to get rid of heavy metals, depleted uranium, poison gas, and other weapons of mass destruction. And what he told me in a conversation I had with him in 2009 is again that there is no ammunition made without depleted uranium. What's worse, the Americans give it away. They don't even sell it anymore. They give it away. They gave it to all the bases of operational bases in Afghanistan. And so they're really, really keen on spreading this stuff around the globe as much as possible. And again, New Zealand is not an exclusion zone or anything.
Well, can I make a point here? As somebody who has experience in the black market, being arrested for cannabis when I was a young man, I've realized that the easiest way to get banned substances used is to just not tell the authorities. that's it. And if the authorities don't know about it, they don't inform the public, and then the people don't know about it, and whammo, you've got off scot-free.
That is undoubtedly true, especially since we're not talking about where we buy our ammunition and where and how this is being imported in. What's more, John Key, of course, signed us on to NATO in a new treaty. This was not an extension on an old treaty. He, in June 2012, he signed us on to NATO, and every NATO, you know, the United States, UK, France, they're all producing depleted uranium weaponry. So it's you know, everybody who has nuclear power stations has depleted uranium they can't get rid of, and they make weapons with it. This was used in Kosovo. It was used in Serbia. It was used in it's used everywhere. In Libya, and of course, we are now part of NATO. We're not members. No, we're partners. Which, of course, when you look at what that means, is that you're actually a member of a group, and you know, it's just a different name. But we are, in fact, according to NATO website, we are supplying troops to NATO, and we also supplied a frigate to NATO, Timana. A frigate was in the coast before Somalia. They were allegedly, of course, helping against pirates. But what it is that we're training with NATO, which means that there is no way we can escape depleted uranium weapons.
Well, the problem with that, I think, is what was it? Was it Nikki Hager who actually exposed that? That our frigates and everything were being used for quote unquote security, in inverted commas, for the original Iraq invasion. Well, not the original Iraq invasion, the Iraq invasion 2 under George W. Bush in 2003. And incidentally, they used so much depleted uranium during that conflict on the ground that now a quarter of all Iraqi children are born deformed. And when parents have their child come out, the first question they ask is not the most common one. Is it a boy or a girl? It's, is it normal? All right, so this is the danger of depleted uranium, ladies and gentlemen. It is the gift that keeps on giving. And it actually, I believe I interviewed, I'm not sure if it was Bob Powell or something. I forget his name, but he used to work for the military and studied depleted uranium intensively. And it's one of the worst, most toxic, disgusting, horrific weapons that has ever been devised. It is literally a waste product that they pop into weaponry, and it contaminates areas. And I think that's actually probably one of the intentions of depleted uranium weapons by those in the know. This is just my theory, of course, that they want to contaminate areas where human settlement won't really be possible anymore. And in fact, it'll help to cram us all into megacities because you won't be able to grow anything without it being contaminated.
Well, what is interesting and what you should know about depleted uranium, that it behaves like a ceramic product. And so when they use it, they use it, like, for example, as a cone. When it falls down or when it's being shot at a target, it starts to burn, and the depleted uranium evaporates into nanoparticles, which are then being breathed in, which are then spread throughout the environment. In fact, they have found depleted uranium nanoparticles on the space ship, the space station, and they have found it as far away as Australia, and it's not going to stop at the airspace of New Zealand just because we are a nuclear-free country. We are no longer a nuclear-free country. So I think that that is something we really have to keep in mind, and especially now that John Key is in the United States, speaking with the Secretary of Defense, with John Kerry, with Janet Cullen, the head of the Federal Reserve, the chairman of the Federal Reserve. He's talking with all the people, the right people, that might want to use our young people as cannon fodder in the next godforsaken war somewhere. Vinny.
Well, of course it's godforsaken because, hey, you know. Well, I'm just quite, like, concerned here. So they're dropping bombs with depleted uranium in them just north of Auckland, right?
Well, what they said was that the defense, hold on.
Let me stop you. Yeah. Is that just what they said, or is this what a source has told you?
No, this is...
Because officially there's no explanation for the booms. No. They're like, oh, I don't know what it is.
What they said is that Number 5 Squadron... in the Kaipara bomb range, was conducting trials for the P3K Orion, dropping MK82 500-pound bombs. And what is interesting about the ones they've used is that usually the sound carries between 5 and 10 kilometers, but this is 70 kilometers away from where people were complaining about the noises. So that's a strange extension of the radius of noise that they were making. The thing to remember is that in order for a bomb to have a certain weight, it has to have a certain amount of heavy condensed material. Now, either they're using lead, which I don't think so, or they're using depleted uranium. And when I spoke with Doug Rocky, he said that basically there is no more depleted uranium-free bombs, because they've got plenty of it. It does a wonderful job of penetrating, destroying, and polluting. And they're not going to make, oh, well, in New Zealand, they've got 10 bombs. They need 10 bombs to explode on their beaches. They're not going to not put the depleted uranium in it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be 500-pound bombs anymore. They'd be 300-pound bombs. So I think that what is interesting is that MK-82, they're explaining here, are common all-purpose aircraft munition, and they contain 160 pounds of explosives, which is, of course, far under the 500 pounds that these bombs weigh. That we have been using them since the 1956 Malaysian conflict. Now, they still have the name MK-82, but they are built vastly different to the 56 bombs at the time. It's just, you know, it's like having a Volkswagen. You know, we still have Volkswagens, but you can't compare them to the Volkswagens Hitler built. Or, you know, to name another one of those nice guys.
It's fairly difficult to compare things to Hitler nowadays, eh? Because every time somebody compares anybody to Hitler, they go, it's been done to death, it's been done to death. It's like, well, hold on a second. Is there a better example of some kind of a demagogue person whipping everybody up into a murderous frenzy and dumbing everybody down and taking away everybody's rights? You know, is there a more widely known figure that kind of fits those parameters? I don't think so.
Well, he most certainly was the most published. I think what not a lot of people know, of course, is that Stalin killed about 20 million of its own people. So he would go for a good one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you talk about the Holocaust. It's like they killed 6 million Jews. Well, hold on. Stalin, just in one little campaign confiscating the grain from Ukraine, killed 7 million plus, and they had to resort to cannibalism. They didn't even build camps for them, anything. They just starved out all the people in the freaking country.
Yeah, okay. That's what they did.
Nobody talks about that, on the other hand.
No, yeah. Everybody, that's interesting.
Oh, the Ukrainians, there's millions more of them, you know.
What's more, they're trying to kill 8 million Russian Ukrainians at the moment.
They're not just trying to kill them. We're talking about the onset of World War III, according to John Eisen from Uncensored. He'd been the last three cover. I've never seen him do this before in all the years I've known him. But three covers in a row have been about trying to prevent World War III. It's his absolute obsession at the moment to try and prevent World War III. And as far as obsessions go, it's probably the healthiest one I've ever freaking heard of.
The thing is, you know, according to the definition of a world war, six countries have to be at war with each other. There have to be six areas of battle. We've got Somalia, Libya, Syria, Ukraine, America involved in that, United Kingdom involved in that. I reckon we're meeting at this moment the criteria of a world war. It's just, can we contain it not to become much bigger? Iraq is being destroyed at the moment by groups financed absolutely with billions of dollars by Saudi Arabia, by, you know, United States. So we're in a world war. It's just that it's not in our country yet, except, of course, they're now starting to throw depleted uranium, except, of course, in November we had a military training exercise that was training for a war crime, namely deposing a sovereign leader in a sovereign nation. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we are in a world war.
Well, you know, according to the definition, sure. But then if you have a look at the World Health Organization's definition of a pandemic, it's a disease that's in more than one country. So by that definition, every common cold is a pandemic. And not to poo-poo what you're saying, though, it's totally relevant. The scary thing is, of course, that it's about the media at the end of the day, isn't it? How do you know if a world war is on? If the media tells you it is. How do you know if a world war's not on if the media doesn't tell you it is?
Absolutely.
You know, and that's basically the end of the story. I mean, you take a look back at our last world war, allegedly, World War II, and you think about the amount of propaganda, the amount of news coverage. It was a daily, constant update type thing to keep everybody in that little closed fear paradigm of war. There's war everywhere, etc. Be afraid, be afraid, be very, very afraid, and also donate war bonds. Now, you fast forward to today. We've got wars everywhere. We've got the media hyping it up and talking about it. Be afraid, and by the way, buy stocks on Wall Street still. Has much actually really changed other than the appearance of war?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't think so. We're still being hyped. We're still being propagandized. We're actually being propagandized more so, I think, than before the Second World War. Because we have the mainstream media, global mainstream media is really. I mean, at the time you had Labour had a newspaper, the other parties had a newspaper. When I grew up, we had radio stations representing different groups in society, so you had different choices you could make as what you wanted to watch. You know, the good news is that we now, of course, have internet.
Conveniently,
and we can inform ourselves.
Well, that's happening under the assumption that you even get to the point. I was just thinking about it the other day. It took me getting arrested and nearly 10 people coming up to me saying things about 9/11 and the drug laws and all of that kind of stuff, and going through all that business myself before I even wanted to start looking into the truth and start thinking about it. And then it was just like somebody leading me down the garden path, like Alex Jones, for example, you know, telling me all of this stuff, scary business, and radically informing me and just basically making me really angry and depressed and then going out there and getting it done. I can't actually go up to somebody and encourage them and just say, hey, bro, you know, this is what you need to do. It's real fun. It's real awesome. It's real fun. No, it's like, hey, bro, this is going to totally mess up your life and destroy everything you ever thought was real. But however, if you don't do this, unfortunately, you're going to get exterminated or become a slave. And so will your children.
And that is what will happen.
Yeah. Don't have much of a choice in the matter. Now, Evelyn, I believe you have customers there in the shop there, don't you? So if you want to go and tend to them, just leave the Skype on and put it on mute for another few minutes, and then I'll stop the recording and get off the air by myself, because I have a few things that I want to say here. So, Evelyn, thank you very much for your time. Aotearoa, a wider perspective, .wordpress.com is her website, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Now, this is a broadcast that is supported 100%, well, I wouldn't say 100%, probably about 90%, by listeners and donations, subscriptions, that kind of thing. So if you want to see this kind of broadcast continue, and the power is totally in your hands, ladies and gentlemen, I'm simply here, cap in hand, doing community service and just hoping that the community values it enough to give of themselves so that I can simply continue to do it. The point of expansion is very difficult to achieve. I would love new computers, mostly assistance would be preferable. Like having somebody to come into the studio every day and do 40 hours a week, etc., and go for their life. What's problematic about this all is nobody seems to recognize that we have so many problems, right? It's like that. You walk around generally, just in the streets or whatever. You ask people, hey, do you think 9/11 is an inside job? Hey, do you think this, that, or the other? And, you know, the stupidity. I mean, it's like Einstein said, there's no limits to the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not so sure about the former. And that's what I fear, is that foolish people who are uninformed can be easily taken for a ride, can be manipulated, can be told to vote for this party or that party or the other one. And this is coming into the New Zealand election year, and I just found out that the internet party, you know, this one's going to be, oh, I'm totally against state surveillance and totally for freedom and free speech and exposing the corruption and everything. And guess what they have as the environment policy? You guessed it, Agenda 21. Which will undo any good that they want to do. All right? That's basically the end of the story. And somebody was like quite surprised when they told me that. And I said, well, what do you expect of a political party that's fronted by Bomber Bradbury? Less socialism? Give me a break. So, you know, but the media won't tell you that. You'll hear that on this show. You won't hear it on any other show in the freaking country. In the freaking world. Nobody's talking about this. I am. And I'm not saying, like, oh, I'm so good, I'm so fabulous, because I'm talking about anything else that, you know, you're full of myself and whatnot. I'm just saying the freaking reality here, ladies and gentlemen. You actually do have to support me. All right? Morally. Obligatorily. Because there's no other freaking choice. Just like waking up. You don't really have a choice. You have to do it sooner or later. And I'll tell you what, I've got a number of goals and plans. I want to be like, more or less, I want to go toe-to-toe with the mainstream media and beat them. I want to make sure that you, the people, have real information with which to base your decisions on, to base your votes on, to base your public policy, your council policy on. Everything that governs your life is circling around how informed or uninformed the people are. And I want to make sure that you've at least got the information so you can make a choice about whether or not you want to be informed. Once I'm gone, if my YouTube channel packs up and the radio show no longer exists, you, the public, and the activists that I've had on the show for years and years will no longer have that platform, will no longer have that choice. I certainly hope you see that as terrible a prospect as I do. Not for your selfishness, but for your people, for broader humanity. We'll be right back.